Welcome back to Noodle On with Noel. I am Noel the Noodle, and I am your host. And I, first of all, want to say, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the feedback and support I have gotten in launching my third podcast in a year. As part of my little launch, I asked my audience for some hard-hitting questions that they wouldn't mind answering, or sorry, they wouldn't mind asking for me to answer on this week's episode, episode 2 of Noel the Noodle Podcast. And we got a healthy amount of questions from people I've seen before in my comment sections, from people I know of, and these questions will definitely take up a full episode to answer, because a lot of these questions I've gotten in the past here and there, and I have answered them on other people's podcasts, but today we're answering it on mine. And I like how these are the questions that I said have been too hard to answer in a single comment, because I like to talk. I talk a lot. And so today we're going to answer those. Okay, but before we begin, I hope everyone's finding it easy to find my podcast. I made a whole website, which, you know, these days with so many people starting podcasts, wow, there's a lot of resources. It's like so easy. They streamline this like crazy. You do need to know, I guess you need to know what to do with So I'm clearly very new at all this, you guys, but I definitely feel like I should have clicked hide the echo. Well, I think it sounds fine. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, does it sound fine? I'm definitely a beginner at this. My last two podcast mates. Guys, for people who don't know, this podcast is also on YouTube. So if you want to see my face talking instead of just hear my voice, I'm waving right now to my YouTube screen. Also, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I remember that is where we left off, right? It was Thanksgiving. I don't know. But guys, there's really not much to talk about except these amazing questions. So let's just get right into them, because there was a few I want to tackle. So let's see. Here is four different ones. Okay. All right. So for people who don't know, I am a former, you know what they say? So I'm a former drug addict, but I hate saying former because I feel like, and this is actually proven, you never are not an addict. I have lost what I'm addicted to. I don't do that anymore. But that trait, addiction, is still deep inside me and very easily could, well, for me, it was triathlon. I found triathlon. Now I'm super addicted to it. But I'm just saying, I'd hate the word former, because you truly never know. You truly never know if this is your, I don't think you ever get over it. I think you replace it. I think you switch addictions. I think you find something to channel your energy into instead of getting high. But I truly don't think you ever get rid of it. And so I hate saying former addict, but yes, that's a little backstory. And there's a ton of podcasts out there that I've been on to talk about that, but I'm definitely going to share some of this. Okay, so here we go. All right. So question, let's just get into it. Here's a lighthearted one. Placid Pirate. I have always found it odd that there are so few many triathletes in Vermont. Okay, I guess that's not a question. That's more of just a statement, unless I'm missing the rest of it. But I will say, totally agree. Is it just me? But I have moved. So I moved with my family last June, or was it 2022? And it was, we moved to Vermont, right? Okay, we moved up here to this town called St. Albans, Vermont, and we built a whole gym to train because it's obviously cold in the winter, like a beautiful state-of-the-art gym. Really nice. I was obsessed with getting this gym done. Okay, so with that being said, I have to say, unfortunately, okay, first of all, I also, if you can't tell, this podcast at the moment has no rhyme or reason. We just are kind of all over the place. It will get more structured, especially when I find people to interview. If you want to be interviewed and be a guest on the show, reach out. I want guests. I want a ton of guests. Okay, back to what I was saying. Well, because this speaker was $400. Although I got it for free. Shout out to Feisty. I need to remember who gave me this podcast, but they're amazing and they have a podcast too. Woman for Try. Maybe it was Woman for Try. It was a triathlete. And if you are listening to this and you were the one who gave me this podcast, Mike, say something. So I'll have you on my show also. Okay. I digress. Back to what I was. Oh, you guys, I don't know. I don't know if I like. Okay. So first of all, Vermont has some of the best world-class biking. And I've biked all over the world. I've biked in Australia. I've biked in the Rockies. I've biked in the Swiss Alps, the French Alps. And I am telling you, the roads around rural Vermont up near the Canadian border in the summer, it's just unreal. Just unreal. Amazing gas station stops, which I love my gas station stops, but they're not just gas stations. They're like, all of them have like a bakery in the back who make homemade sandwiches. They all have coffee. It's so European, but it's not even European because here, I mean, the roads are big, massive. You pass, I mean, I can go for 40 miles without seeing a single car in this like beautiful, beautiful, lush, green. There's rivers, there's like barns, there's horses. It's just amazing. I have never felt so at one. Is that the right word? Not at one. I have never felt so into the land. Is that the right word either? I just feel so connected with the biking here. I think if you are in the USA and in the summer, I guess only in the summer, come up to Vermont to bike. It's absolutely unreal. Just unreal. Unreal biking. Okay. So, but you're right. There is a serious lack of triathletes here. But you know what? There might also be a lack of a lot of stuff here because I haven't met anyone. My whole life is training, social media, and then traveling. And if you don't have, oh, this would be a great podcast topic to talk about, is why is it so hard to make friends as an adult? That is a good, because I do have friends. They're all over the world and none of them are local. Not one. Not one's local. But if you don't have a 9-to-5, I take that back. Shout out to Liam. Liam, my swimming buddy. I have a buddy here who's a really good swimmer. His name's Liam. Maybe he'll listen to this. I doubt it. But I have a swimming buddy here. It was really nice to find a swimming buddy. I think humans were meant, I guess adult friendships were meant to be found on, were intended to be formed with like-minded. Anyways, he's like-minded. He likes swimming. He likes adventuring. He's a caver. And I'm going to tell him he's mentioned in this episode at the 9.5-minute mark. Okay, so let me get comfortable while we answer some more of these bad boys. Why haven't you done just a marathon yet? I feel like you'd kill it. Okay, well, first of all, oh, that's from Tar Heel 7. And actually, Tar Heel, it's so interesting because guys who also, you know what? I feel like everyone listening to this knows who I am because I don't want to like give a whole story, a recap. And I'm a triathlete. And I, in the last, actually since COVID, in the last 5 years, I've done 12 full distance Ironmans. I have not, which means I've done 12 marathons basically, but I've never done an open marathon. And when we talk about open marathons, we are talking about an Ironman marathon is when you swim, bike, then run. You do a triathlon. But an open marathon is, what is an open marathon? It's just when you do just the marathon. There's no swimming or biking before it. And I am so, so beyond motivated to see what I can do in an open marathon and kind of take a big step back from Ironman and see what I can do with an open marathon because it's such a different ballgame. To me, it looks harder. To me, it looks harder to run an open marathon because what I've learned from training with professional triathletes to being around professional runners, I have learned that. And just seeing the sport, it's just so brutal. It's so brutal. Running a hard 26.2 miles on the pavement is just hard. It's like such, it just beats up your body. And the way people run in Ironmans, I feel like is different. That's why you hear of triathletes doing like 5 different Ironmans a year and only in professional marathoners doing 1 to 2 maybe a year, because they run so fast and pound the pavement so hard. I almost feel like the recovery is so much harder than an Ironman. That's my opinion, and that's my opinion. I do think it's so hard on your body to run a hard 26.2 miles rather than shuffle kind of at a pretty comfortable-ish pace for an Ironman. And anyways, all that being said, long story short, I would absolutely, absolutely love to do an open marathon. And in fact, if I were to do it, I would try to get into one of the world marathon majors because, well, New York's on my bucket list. New York is absolutely on my, I've been to New York City, but to actually do the New York City Marathon, I think out of all of them, that's number one. And I've been to New York quite a bit, but to run around all 5 boroughs and like the energy and to hear about, like, I need to make sure I can hire someone to get an e-bike on the course and film me the whole time. That would be so cool if that happened. I'm kidding, guys. Got that reference, leave it in the reviews if you got that reference. Okay, so anyways, all right. But yes, that is down the line. That is absolutely down the line. I want to really understand the marathon distance and like see what I can do. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to do an open marathon. And I think it would be New York. When is New York? Can we look that up? Let's look up when New York City. I think it's recent. Wasn't it? It is recent. It was so recent. It was just like right after Kona. Okay, you guys, I just burped into the mic. I wonder if that picked it up. Okay, let's go with the next question. Oh, and I was hoping to not do too many, like this podcast is totally not just triathlon eccentric because I do other stuff. And then there's so many triathlon podcasts. We don't need another one. Although that is a major part of my life. And now that I'm looking at these questions, a lot of these questions are about triathlon, which is totally fine. Here's one that's not. Okay. ATECHERKBC ask, who is your biggest role model? Love it. Love it. That's actually such a good question. And one I haven't really thought of. I don't know. Who is my biggest role model? I guess there's different role models in different categories because, like, I know this is so cliche, but like, my mom is a massive role model. And the reason I say, but in just like, just the way she goes about stuff, she's like, well, let's circle back. Like I said, we just moved to Vermont, right? Last year. And she already has a whole network of people. Just boom. Completely effortless. She has like a jewelry class she goes to. She goes on walks with friends. This town has less than 6,000 people. We don't even live. We have no neighbors that we do, but like, and she just already found people to go walk with, to go ride with. She has like, she's a part of the board of like City Hall or something. She goes to like meetings for, she just always has something. She's found something. That's just so cool. That's such a unique ability to like integrate yourself into a community as flawlessly as she's done. That's such a cool, and just the way she's just tough. You know, my mom actually looks like here, you asked if she would come on the podcast as a guest someone else asked if my parents could come on the podcast as a guest, and I would love my mom to because, yeah, I love her too because she raised twins. She raised twins when, actually, this is my voice. I'm allowed to say what I want to say because this podcast is mine. And recently I posted a video of me and my twins celebrating our 30th birthday with my mom because my mom had twins on her birthday. She had us. And a lot of the comments, which I know you're supposed to ignore Instagram comments. It's crazy how much volatile, how crazy Instagram is, how volatile it is compared to TikTok. TikTok's so nice. I love my people there. And then I move over to Instagram and one viral video, and we got some of the nastiest comments I've ever seen. Referring to this post of me and my twins celebrating our birthday, I wanted to say, there's a lot of people who commented, oh, your mom, she must be sad and depressed. She raised 2 failures. First of all, bitch, how is a doctor a failure? I don't think you can say that in the same sentence. A literal doctor. My twin's a doctor. And I am a triathlete who travels the world for a living. I don't think I've done half as much work as my twin has because I've seen how firsthand how hard medical school is. And Jesus. Yeah, that is wild. I think that's something to be said. I think there's something to be said about how you look at, like, that's not a failure. Okay. Specifically referring to like three specific comments. Where are we at with this? Okay. So how did you get, if you had to stop doing, what's the other one? Ooh, okay. So there's a lot of questions that looks like referring to how, so yeah, I guess I was actually going to have a whole episode about this, the weight loss episode, but yes, since November 11th, I've lost 21 pounds. And someone asked, staying fueled enough for performances whilst in a calorie deficit. And I want to say, I actually have not been staying fueled enough for performance because I have no performance to get it. I have nothing planned, really. I have no triathlon planned in the near coming future because I am on my second femoral neck stress reaction of the 2024 season. I have had both hips. I've had a femoral neck stress reaction, which is considered a bone stress injury. A bone stress injury from running too much. And it's now my second one. So long story short, I actually am now, I was in a calorie deficit to lose the weight that I had gained from the first injury. And now that I have it again, I just want off. And the reason I'm talking about the weight is because I'm not fueling enough, meaning I do think I would absolutely be underfueled and bonking and low energy if I went on if I did full-time Ironman training right now, like 5 to 6 hour bike rides, 5K swims, 18 to 20 mile runs. I'm not fueled enough at all for that, but we will build back to that after I lost the weight. And I want to point out to everyone what I did. And I actually made my physical therapist quite upset because I definitely shared misinformation on the internet by saying I think my stress reaction was caused by being overweight, being heavier than I have been in the past. And that is misinformation. I don't think being heavier had to do with my stress reaction. With that being said, I do already immediately feel 10 times better, 21 pounds lighter. And I definitely don't ever see myself gaining that much weight again. That was because I've now been through a weight loss cycle twice. The first time was very significant. I lost 58 pounds in In 3 months, I lost 58 pounds. And now in 1 month, I've lost 21 pounds or a little over a month. So I know how to do this. I do know how to do this. But last time this summer, when I got injured, the first femoral neck injury. Speaking of being hungry, I am starving. I'm absolutely starving. Guys, everyone asked about my app. It's called MyFitnessPal. And I do the paid version because you can eat something from like the gas station or like peanuts or something. And if any of it has a barcode, you can scan it. Boom. Instantly goes into your app. How crazy is that? It instantly goes into it. So I think that's really cool. It also like knows the serving. The only barcodes it hasn't found is like random wine bottles. Yeah, it hasn't found some of those barcodes, but I'm shocked at some of the barcodes it knows about. Because when I started using it, I was in Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne. Australians call it Melbourne. And it's crazy how, wow, it just found some random treat. It knows about it. So this whole database is worth it. So anyways, I use MyFitnessPal and I'm trying to get 1700 calories base goal a day, which is not very much. Okay, so where are we? How do you turn your life around? Ooh, that's a big one. And what's your race schedule for 2025? I don't have a race schedule yet, but I do think my A goal will be Ironman Japan in September. It's like 39 weeks or something till Ironman Japan. How cool is that to say? And every time I put it out there, I jinx it. But there's no pro field, as far as I know. And when there's no pro field at an Ironman triathlon, an age grouper like myself or someone faster is going to get to break the tape. Yes, family, we get to break the tape. Meaning you get to run down the finisher chute first and hold up the banner. And it's my dream. Before I retire from triathlon, I want to do that. I don't care what race. I don't care what distance. I just want to hold the banner. I've only done it a few times. No. I take it back. I do care. I want it to be an Ironman. I want it to be a full distance Ironman. I want to win a full distance Ironman. I just want to. So yeah, that is, and I want to go back to Busselton. I would like to do Ironman Western Australia. It almost feels like a second home there. Absolutely love Ironman Western Australia, and I would like to do that again. Other than that, I have nothing planned. I would love to do an open marathon, as previously discussed. Absolutely love it. Okay, you guys, so here we go. So let's do, okay, guest speaker. That was Arnie. How did you get into racing? Actually, here's a great, great question. How did I get into racing from GEIBCLARISE? Gibe Clarice. How did I get into racing? Okay, so yeah, how did I get into racing? Well, let's go back to when I was 20. And it actually has to do with weight loss. It actually has to do with my first round of weight loss. I started running and I became addicted and obsessed with running. And this was in my 3 months of doing, it was like 3 months. In 3 months, I lost 58 pounds. I went from 198 to 139. I know it's a lot of numbers I'm throwing out here, but stick with me. So I did that by literally doing nothing, but I became obsessed. I ate salad. I literally lived off of salad and grilled chicken breast for like 3 months straight. Salad, fruit, and grilled chicken breast. I ate no carbs or no like starch. I ate no bread. I ate vegetables, fruit, and salad. All right, vegetables, fruit, and chicken breast. That's it for 3 months. But along with that, I started going from no base, zero base, to, I remember it was like, I ran around the block and I absolutely loved it. I loved it. And I had run before. Everyone grows up running in some sort. I mean, I've done a time mile in gym class. I did the pacer test. Like, we know what running is. I used to do 5Ks when I was little on soccer, but this was like the first time I was an adult and I did it for me, not because it was for a grade. And I ran around the block. I could barely make it around the block. And I was 198 pounds. I was still smoking cigarettes at the time, was fresh off of detox and sober, had no aspirations, zero aspirations really in life, just was just going to try to stay sober. But I hate it. Absolutely hate it how I looked. I just did not like, this is so cliche, but there is this pair of jeans. Oh, this is so cliche. Or is it cliche? I don't even know. There is this pair of jeans I used to travel all over the world with. We went on all our little vacations with them. I bungee jumped in New Zealand with them. I bungee jumped in South Africa with these jeans. I loved these jeans. And this is a decade ago now, I put on these jeans and the button did not clasp. And that was like, ugh. That was a gut check. I was like, oh my God, are you bigger than your favorite pair of jeans? And I was. I didn't fit in them anymore. And these are like I don't even know where they are now. They were just like I just really like these jeans, okay? And I felt like they were like my little adventure buddies. These jeans were my adventure buddy. And now I didn't fit into them. And so I went from nothing to running 60 to 70 mile weeks. I would run every morning with no base. And the weight just started falling off, just completely started falling off. But my dad was a doctor at the time. He's retired now. And my mom and dad had been in sports. My mom was a very successful triathlete. My dad was a very successful ultra runner. So they kind of were on the sidelines watching this happen, watch me basically starve myself and lose a ton of weight rapidly, way faster than recommended. And they said, and I wasn't even using a Garmin. I was using a Fitbit. I was just going crazy with this running. I would run slow, but I would run long. I would run like I said, 60 to 70 miles. Like, I would be not happy if I ran less than 8 miles a day. That on no base. And what I say with the base is like growing up, like 60, 70 mile weeks are very hard on your body. And I have no base. My feet aren't used to pounding the pavement, you know. And at the time, running was still so hard. Like, it was a very hard hour to go out and run. I wasn't fueling properly. I was probably dehydrated 90% of my runs and still trying to lose weight. And I just remember the runs are really excruciating. Like, I was very high heart rate, breathing really hard. This got better. But up until then, anyways, and so my dad one time stopped me and was like, hey, you are going to get hurt. You're going to get injured. And I think one of their biggest fears was me being injured and taken out of this like newfound love for sports and weight loss and getting into it and going back to drugs. I think that was 90% of their worry. And so what happened was my dad at the time, like I said, was a doctor, and he worked with this guy, shout out to David Brennan. He worked with this guy who was a sports physiologist who had a lab. And at the time, my dad said, you know what? Maybe instead of running every morning, because he could see an injury coming. Luckily, an injury never came. It will in my story. It will come eventually. But right now, no, I didn't get injured. But he basically said, my dad was like, here, you can use my little road bike to start supplementing these runs with swimming and or biking or something, so you're not pounding the pavement every day because you're going to get injured. And we met David, the sports physiologist, and he was like, hey, you should, let's see what's under the engine. Let's pop the hood. And by that, I mean, he wanted to do a VO2 max test and some lactate testing. And I was still smoking at the time. I had lost the weight, but I remember him saying, oh, what was it? I hope this is basically, long story short, I did one of these max VO2 tests. It was so hard. Oh my gosh, those are horrible. And then I've since done quite a few. But we're like, oh my gosh, that's a really high score for someone with no interval training, someone who smokes, someone who was overweight less than 3 months ago, and who doesn't do any training, like any type of actual training. Anyways, they were shocked at my score. It was a 72. And they were just like, wow, this is really good. When also I want to say, I think there was something in it. Like, they could tell since I was still smoking. And back in the day, kids, I was smoking cigarettes, I didn't vape. I smoked real cigarettes, Marlboro Reds, for any old people out there who remember those. Yeah, I was I definitely would actually contribute the smoking to a little bit of the weight loss, because instead of picking out on something, or like, I would have a cigarette. And I stopped smoking when I got really into triathlon, but this is so funny because I remember them saying, I remember him saying, well, I swear they could tell there was like carbon monoxide or something when, like, a higher level of carbon monoxide or dioxide when I breathed out into the tube, because in max VO2 test, you have to close your nose and breathe into a tube. And I think he was like saying, weird, like your lungs are breathing out CO2. I don't know what it was, but I could have sworn, I remember this is 10 years ago, he said that they could tell I smoked because of what was coming out in the out breath of the test. Anyways, oh my gosh, what was my original question? I don't even know the original question. Oh, how did I get into racing? So yeah. Fast forward, we did that. Yeah, so they said, wow, you're really kind of good at this. Like, you might have a little bit of a potential in endurance sports. And I was like, well, I have good genes from my parents. And then after this little trip to the lab, I would call that a Canada bend, because we went to the lab and I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, there's a whole new world of like exercising and like science. And like, I love, this is so cool that I could maybe be kind of good at this stuff. And then we discovered down the line, an hour and a half away, at Guthrie, Oklahoma, there was a triathlon, and I had been now in the pool a little bit because I actually swam 1 year competitively in eighth grade. Yeah, 1 year competitively. If you can be competitive in eighth grade, I think eighth grade in the U.S. for all my international listeners, it's like 11 or 12 years old. And I was pretty good, not going to lie, in the 11th to 12th grade. Then I gave it all up and became a drug addict. But now that I went through that and came back on the other side, and I was getting back into the pool at the health zone. I would use the St. Francis health zone in Tulsa. We were in Tulsa at the time. And I would swim 30 laps a day after either running or biking or lifting weights. And I was like doing kind of out of nowhere, doing all three of these sports, swimming, biking, running. And we found a triathlon. And it was like 90 minutes away. It was down the road from Tulsa in a little town called Guthrie, Oklahoma. The first Capital Triathlon. It was my first triathlon since I was like four. I think I did a little Conway kids one when I was four or something or five. Anyways, went out to Guthrie, Oklahoma. It was so hot. It was like 110 degrees. It was like 110 degrees and humid. And I signed up for the sprint triathlon. I used my dad's road bike and it was a little local, you know, a little local event. I was on the sprint distance, not doing the Olympic distance. And it was crazy because just a whole new world, just absolutely, wow, what's a triathlon transition? What are those? What are these big old fancy aero helmets? You know, just a whole new, wow, this is cool. And I did the race and it was, what was it? Yeah, I did the race. It was just a sprint triathlon, but I remember vividly being first out of the water, my first ever triathlon. And I was first out of the water for this sprint triathlon, for the sprint distance. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm leading this whole race. It was pretty cool. I had never done a triathlon. And the fact that, and I basically just got back into swimming, the fact that I was first out of the water leading this little race. When you are first out of the water, specifically at a triathlon event, at a triathlon, this has happened quite a bit to me now, but it's really cool because people love the first out of the water. It's just, you know, the spectators. They've been watching, splashing around in the whole field in the lake for 30, 40, now up to 55 minutes. Anyways, that first person who gets out of the water, it's very cool to them to see, I think. I think they love seeing that first person. At least I think so. The energy is so, they love seeing the first transition. It's just a cool little, if you can ever be first out of the water at some event, do it because it's very cool. The people love it. Anyways, and so I was first out of the water, but then I got to the transition area and completely lost my bike. Had no idea where I racked it. And this was a tiny little race too. There wasn't that many bikes. But I remember spending like 7 minutes in that transition. I remember 7 minutes because it said it. I was looking at all my times and I was like, 7 minutes? And there was people who had transitioned in like 30 seconds from the swim to the bike. And like 30 seconds. And mine said 7 minutes because I could not find my bike. I could not find where I put my bike. And I will never forget. That was my biggest first piece of advice on some of the interviews I've done in the past. And there I was saying, my biggest piece of advice for new triathletes is know where you put your stuff in transition. Because I actually had a solid lead and I was running around up and down looking for my little bike. It was my dad's bike at the time and it was great. It blended in very well. And I'm watching everyone I just outswam come in a transition, get their bike and leave and pass me. And I was down to like 50th place by the time I got my bike. By the time I located my bike, and that was just funny because I remember being in transition screaming, where is it? Where is it? This is so crazy. I was, you know, I was out first. How cool would that have been to actually keep going, keep leading? But I ended up coming in third or fourth overall after absolutely, like, it was the hardest thing. My gosh, it was so hard. A triathlon, my first triathlon. Running after the bike was such a sensation. It was such a sensation. It's so hard. It's just a hard, hard sport. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe these people are doing double that distance. Referring to the people doing the Olympic distance, which is double the sprint. But I was like, I can't imagine having to go back out for a lap. Anyways, I was hooked. I was immediately hooked. And actually, a funny story I'll never forget. On the way back from this triathlon, at the gas station, after like doing really well, feeling really athletic, I had a cigarette. And I'll never forget sitting at the gas station having that cigarette. My dad's like, what are you? This is so counterintuitive. You just like did so good at your first triathlon and like you're getting into this new fate. And I was out there having a cigarette like no other person. It was just so Oklahoma. It was just so. And actually, fun fact, later that year, actually, it was, I think it was even like less than 2 weeks later, We are doing a big family trip. We always go on a big family trip. And that year specifically, I'll never forget, it was to Dubai and then to South Africa. And outside the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, it was literally like 2 weeks after that triathlon. Outside the Dallas airport, I knew we were about to get onto a 15 and a half hour flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Dubai. I was outside the airport. And I had my last cigarettes. I didn't know we were going to talk about cigarettes this much, but this definitely is kind of a big part of the story. I had a cigarette. My mom was there with me and she's like, this is it. And I was like, yeah, this is it. Because I knew I wanted to quit. I knew I did not want to be on cigarettes. I knew. At the time, 10 years ago, cigarettes were very bad. Well, I guess they're still bad, but now everyone vapes. But I said to myself, I don't want to be a 40-year-old, 50-year-old smoker. It's going to ruin everything. It's ruining my hair, my skin. It smells bad. It's gross. It's tacky. And I had my last cigarette, my last one, and threw the pack away. Because once you go into the airport and you have 14 hours to fly to Dubai, there's no more smoking. There's no... And that was the last time I ever touched a cigarette, was that day. So it was funny because I always remember having a cigarette after my first triathlon because I was still... currently a smoker. And it felt so weird. The last thing you want, friends, the last thing you want in your lungs after like exercising them is a bunch of smoke. You don't want smoke in your lungs. And we threw it away. And I don't even ever remember it being that bad. I was so distracted with the fact that we're going on this crazy trip. And I really didn't even think about it once. I don't think I did. Yeah, but that was it. That was my last cigarette. My whole life. It is weird when you are in... Nicotine is extremely addicting. Nicotine is so addicting. It's like this little thing in your... I think it creates its own pathways in your brain. I don't know the whole... I actually don't know the science behind it. I actually know a little bit. Nicotine like makes its own pathways in your brain or something. So that's why with the level of nicotine these vapes have these days, these vapes. And originally, everyone, remember, vaping was supposed to get kids and people... Vaping was only to get people off of cigarettes. Now it's just people just start vaping. And I can't imagine trying to quit vaping these days with how much nicotine's in it. Well, that's going to be really hard for people trying to quit. But it's good. You guys should quit vaping. Vaping's not good. So anyways, later that summer, so we went to Dubai, went to South Africa. Later that summer, we found the next distance up, the Olympic distance, which is the standard triathlon distance. And we signed up for it. It would be my second one of the year and my first one at that distance. And it was called Toad Suck. It was called Toad Suck Triathlon outside of Conway, Arkansas, in a little town called Toad Suck, Arkansas. Yep, Toad Suck Triathlon. And I did it 3 years in a row. But so we came back. I was fresh off my fun summer trip with my family, and this was in Arkansas, and I still used my dad's road bike is all I had, but we put aero bars on it. We put little clip on aero bars, and this time I had not a tri-suit yet. I was still using a Speedo, but I won it. I freaking won it. I won Toad Suck Triathlon 2016, 2015 or something like that, and I was hooked. I had done 2 triathlons that year. I absolutely loved the training. I just loved like how you could be, I think what was cool to me was like, I could be swimming in the morning and then be out on my bike later that day and like, just loved the variety of it. I absolutely loved, I just loved it. I loved triathlon. And then I became absolutely obsessed, hooked. I met someone, shout out to Dan Tigert. I met someone who kind of was my little, you know, and then over the next 10 years, I would have go in and out with tons of different mentors and like experiences. I hired my first coach 2 years in the triathlon. Shout out to Matt Hansen. And I was with him for quite a while. And I think that was the catalyst that year, the Toad Suck one, when I won without really any formal training. I mean, I'm not beating like, this is Arkansas. There's like 70 people total in the race, but I won it. And I thought that was really cool. And I became hooked. I became addicted to triathlon. I wanted to learn everything about it. I watched videos. I looked up what aero bars are. I just became that my whole life was triathlon. It was so, you know, I look at it nowadays, like looking back, I look at how I see myself Like how new it was and how exciting and how like wide-eyed I was about everything. Like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that you have this. And now I look at people getting into triathlon nowadays and I see it in them. And I'm talking, I just look at on Instagram or people in real life. And when they're so new into it, they just have such a zest. Is that the word? Zest. And I can tell, I'm like, oh my God, I used to be like that. Because now, going on 9 to 10 years of doing this, I do lose. I don't know. It's just, this is very hard. It's a very hard sport. And I think it's so cool to see excitement when people just discovered it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that was me. That's what I guess this is the same with anything in life, right? But it's fun to talk about. I am having fun talking about this because I remember, I remember just how like new and exciting triathlon is. Like, this is so cool. Oh my gosh. Like, what's an aero helmet? What is a heart rate strap? And it's just, it is very overwhelming to get into this sport. You slowly have to acquire tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment and stuff and wetsuits and this and that. And at first I was like, I want everything. And this doesn't work that way. You have like, now I feel like I do have everything. I have like 5 different bike boxes, but it just takes years to accumulate that stuff. And I guess that's what got me into racing. That definitely was that just one question? How did you get into racing? Oh yeah, that was. Oh my God, there's so many good questions, you guys. And I'm now on, let's see, I'm now on, or going on 46 minutes of this podcast. And I heard the golden window for just starting out podcast is between 30 to 45 minutes. So I'm probably going to save the rest of these questions for a later episode, for episode 3. And I have so many ideas. I want to interview people. I want to do tons of stuff. I'm so motivated to dive into this new form of media, which is not a new form of media. Podcasting has been around forever, I guess, and now everyone has a podcast. But it's basically a social media. Having your own podcast is basically social media. It's basically a form of media. And this is mine. And I hope you loved our discussion today. And I will be answering more of those questions because I feel like I didn't get to like barely any of them. Be answering more of those questions as we go along next episode. And I want to, if you've stayed to the end of this episode, first of all, thank you. I have so many more ideas for Noodle On with Noel. Please follow us on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just press the star button wherever you get your podcast. And let me know. Yeah, give me feedback. I absolutely love it. I have this fun little boom mic. I just said, I think it's called a boom mic. It's what holds the microphone. It's like, this is like a whole professional setup. I'm really into this. So anyways, let me know how you like Noodle On with Noel. I'm Noel the Noodle, your host. And thank you for tuning in. Leave a review, follow, like, and we will see you guys next week.